Hey y'all, we're going to look at Mark chapter 6 and Jesus when he comes to his hometown. And he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So this is an important passage that emphasizes, among other things, I think, the way God works and the radical humility of God. The way God works, that this is the word of the Father, second person of the Trinity, Jesus, Son of God, and he comes to his own hometown. And because he seems so familiar and so ordinary, so boringly everyday, they cannot see who he really is. And again, this is both the way God works. He hides because he's coming against human pride. Jesus didn't come in the splendor that he could have come in. He came in great humility. So that what you saw in him was the power of God, but also the character of God. So this is one of the most important tests. Here it says that they were offended at him. The actual word in Greek is scandalized. That's where we get our English word scandal. They stumbled at the familiarity of Jesus, the extraordinary ordinariness of him. And because of that, they could not receive who he was. And I want to suggest that's still the way God works. You know, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, he reprimands the church because they did not discern the body of Christ. In other words, they didn't notice it. And what he meant is, when you disregard or ignore or are apathetic to a member of the body of Christ, you're missing Christ who is hidden in your midst. So Jesus is incredibly humble, and he comes hidden. He comes hidden in ordinary things, ordinary people, ordinary circumstances. It wasn't just true of his time on earth, but it also continues to be true. One way I'd think to apply it is, are there people in the body of Christ, are there people in your own household who you just can't receive? You can't receive the Lord in them. You can't know that God is coming to you through them. Again, this is to humble us, to not meet our expectations. Thank God that he doesn't meet us on our own terms, but meet us on terms that humble us and show us that he works through very humble and hidden means. So this is a really important turning point because even in his own hometown, among his own family, he's not recognized and not received. And then in the second section, Jesus begins to send out the disciples. He sends them out two by two. So in the beginning of his ministry, the main thing was that they were to be with him. That was their main preparation and their main training. From now on, Jesus is now allowing them to participate and engage in what he's doing. And so he sends them out two by two. And I think there's a couple things about this. One, he's unique. He can go alone, but he sends them out in pairs so that they can be a seed of Christian community. I think in this we're supposed to see the beginnings of, as it were, Christian churches being scattered out everywhere. But sending them out two by two also resonates with the Old Testament command that important matters had to be established by the witness or the testimony of two or more witnesses. So it's a way of affirming the clarity of their mission. And of course, he sends them out and says, listen, you don't need to have any kind of extended preparation ahead of time. You have a very simple mission, and you need to not rely on your own resources and your own planning, but rely on my mission. It's his way of teaching the disciples that if we are given to the purposes of God, he will provide to take care of us to accomplish those purposes. This is expressed in another way in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The point is that if God sends us on a mission, he says that he will provide everything we need for that mission. Notice too, their task is twofold. One, they're to cast out demons. Again, this is reiterating the theme in Mark that the kingdom of God is about infiltrating and destroying the kingdom of darkness, working against all the forces that work to destroy human thriving. And again, it's a reminder to us that behind human evil, behind human free will, is Satan and those who have rebelled with him. And so again, they are given the same task of assaulting the kingdom of darkness. The second thing they're given to do is to preach repentance. And it's a very simple message. And I want to stress this because I don't often think when we think of what's the essence of the gospel, what's the most important message about Christianity, I don't often think we summarize it in the word repentance. But Jesus did. Their task was to say, hey, folks, you need to think, you need to learn to think radically differently. You need to learn to re-see God, yourselves, other people, and everything else in a new light because of Jesus coming. And so I think we need that reminder that the message of the gospel is a message of repentance, learning to radically rethink all the most important things in life. And then finally, notice that they receive, or he anticipates that they will receive a response similar to his. Jesus knows that he was rejected in his hometown. And he says, listen, if they don't receive you, it's as if they're not receiving me. And he says to shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. So Jesus is extending great authority to them. They have the authority that he has to cast out demons, and they have the authority that he has to say, if you've not received my message, I give you testimony that God's not going to receive you. So this is an important turning stage in Mark. But I want to zero back in on this. May we learn to never miss the Lord when he's right under our nose in very familiar, humble circumstances, the brother or sister in the church or our family that is so familiar that we have a hard time receiving a word from them. The cup of cold water, the small acts in which Jesus says he is hidden. May we never miss the Holy One who is humble and hides himself in humble places. Amen.